President Trump. It looks like he's going to have an opportunity again to leave a great legacy, and he has the constitutional right to appoint a Supreme Court Justice after the tragic death of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg on Friday. It was, obviously unexpected, and we as a nation have been going through so much already, and the election is already so contentious that I think everybody was completely shocked Friday. I know I was, everybody else was. I mean, we all knew that her life was probably coming to an end. There was a lot of speculation that, you know, she's older, 87, she's not going to be able to fight another bout of cancer. There was a lot of concern about, this historic woman on the court and what would happen. I think this was really interesting, though. I read a piece, believe it or not, I read a Mother Jones piece only because somebody sent it to me. It's very left, very, very left. For all of you out there who are listening to me, you probably have never read anything out of Mother Jones. It's really liberal. But what was so fascinating about this one article, and, you know, I don't want to judge, maybe you have, was that they said that probably Ruth Bader Ginsburg's legacy would be the fact that she did not retire when President Obama was in office. That she didn't retire. She already, they had already known that there was a lot of issues with her health. She chose not to retire. She could have retired when President Obama was in office if she really, really didn't want anyone putting a conservative in the court, that had she retired during that time, President Obama would have had the constitutional authority to nominate who he wanted on the Supreme Court. That is very true. That is absolutely true. You know, and I pray for her family through their time of need. I'm not here to judge, to criticize. This is a phenomenal nation that we live in. We have a phenomenal Supreme Court. Our justice system is the envy of the world. Although right now, I'm really concerned about that. And that's doing the last 4 years of dealing with the Russia hoax and dealing with everything else. We still have the best system in the world. So President Trump can make history. This is his legacy, and he must do it. He must not be intimidated by the left, and he won't be. Because President Trump is one thing. He is a fighter. And that is an absolute fact. Nobody can take that away from him. He is willing to fight, and he is willing to stand firm on his beliefs, on the beliefs, on the Constitution. Now, whether our Senate is, I'm not too sure. Senator Murkowski, wishy-washy. Senator Collins, wishy-washy. These are all wishy-washy people that ride a fence because they're more worried about themselves than they are about the future of this nation. These people, they don't really care about you and I. They do care about themselves. They do care about riding the fence. They don't stand firm. They're not willing to take that risk, to fight that fight. Right now, who is going to back the president? Is he going to be a lone ranger out there for himself? Is the Senate, GOP Senate, going to do what it's supposed to do? Is Senator Mitch McConnell going to stick to his word? Stick to his word and try to push through a vote? That's what I want to know. I am so tired. I am so tired of being lied to by these senators. And I know you are too. I know you're tired of hearing about hearings that are supposed to happen. Lindsey Graham. I know him. He's a good man. I thought, for the most part. But we're only 40-something days away from a presidential election, and he had been promising hearings on the Russia hoax for I don't know how long. Now you're going to subpoena witnesses? Now you're going to talk to people with 40 days left? When, by the way, guess what they can do? They can just bring their attorneys in and say, meh, we're going to hold off. They can file paperwork. Yeah, this is what I'm telling you, people. They can just file so much legal paperwork within the next 40 days that they never have to testify. They don't have to unless they want to. This is what we have to think about. We are tired of being played. Stop trying to play us. Remember, we pay your checks. Your checks come from the American people. You work for us. That's why President Trump is doing what he was elected to do. It is unfortunate and tragic. It is. I know some of you out there are like, oh, you know, Ginsburg, she was already old. She was already that. No, it is unfortunate and it is tragic that Ruth Bader Ginsburg lost her life. She was an important person in our country. She was an important person on the Supreme Court, even though I disagreed with almost every decision that she made. But she is a part of our nation. She is a part of our history. And she played an important role. And remember, she was great friends with Antonin Scalia, a very conservative, a very important man on our Supreme Court, too, who lost his life. And they were best friends. They were best friends, folks. Democrat, conservative, Republican and Democrat together, best friends. They didn't have to agree on everything. That's where we should be as a nation. We should be like them, being able to talk about our differences, not rip each other apart. We should not be doing that. We should find a way to connect with one another. We should find a way to get together. And we should not fear what these radicals in our streets like Antifa and others are doing. And I hope you all have Simply Safe. I know that sounds kind of strange, huh? That transition going from Antifa, but I'm serious. This is a great, great product. Simply Safe. Here's the thing about home security companies. Most of them try to trap you into high prices, tricky contracts, and lousy customer support. So while there are a lot of options out there, there's only one no-brainer, and that's Simply Safe. You don't have to sign a contract. I hate contracts. I hate it because it's not even really a contract. It's like they're lending you money, and then you got to pay them, and then you try to get out of it, and you can never get out of it because they said, no, it's not really that type of contract. We actually lent you the $2,000 we're going to steal out of your pocket. Well, Simply Safe does not do that. Simply Safe's got everything you need to protect your home with none of the drawbacks of traditional home security. It's got an arsenal of sensors and cameras to blanket every room and window and door, and it's tailored specifically for your home, and especially in these trying times. You want to get Simply Safe. Professional monitoring keeps watch day and night, ready to send a message to the police, the fire department, or medical professionals if there's any emergency. You can set it up yourself in under 1 hour. How simple is that? Under 1 hour, you just peel and stick the sensors exactly where you want them, on your window, on your door, on your floor, wherever you need them. No technician required. And there's absolutely no contract. I've already told you that. And there's no pushy sales guy moving around your house trying to upsell you on more. There's no hidden fees. There's no fine print. All of this starts at $15 a month. I'm not the only one that thinks Simply Safe is great. U.S. News and World Report named it the best overall home security of 2020. I don't just talk about anything on this show. I talk about products that I think are great and products that I think are worth it. And Simply Safe is one of them. Here's the call to action. Let's try Simply Safe today at simplysafe.com/Carter. Remember that, C-A-R-T-E-R. SimplySafe.com/Carter. Simple. C-A-R-T-E-R. You get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. Nothing to worry about. 60 days risk-free. There is nothing to lose. That's SimplySafe.com/Carter. And I'm not joking. We got to keep ourselves safe. Our nation is up against something we have never seen in modern history. I don't even think we can compare this to what happened in Vietnam with the protests in the streets. Yeah, we went through a lot. Civil rights movement, we went through a lot. It was a tough time for our country. It was a tough time for our nation. I do believe we're going to get through this. I do believe we're going to be better and stronger for it. But I think we need to be very cautious, folks. We need to get out there. We need to vote this November. We need to get out there to the polls. We can't trust these mail-in ballots. Look, the Democrats are trying to do everything. I mean, look, they're adopting, they're taking on, they're hijacking these crazy radical left groups and feeding them. I call it feeding the beast. They're telling them, all these young people, their stormtroopers are out to get you. The federal government is out to get you. Law enforcement officers are evil. They're out to get you. You know, when you use that kind of rhetoric, it's not just words. It's not like watching a movie. It's like Nancy Pelosi calling federal stormtroopers, you know, federal law enforcement officers stormtroopers, is dangerous. It instigates violence. Those are violent words. That's what they're doing to the president of the United States, too, for 4 years. For 4 years, the media the mainstream media, not every single one of them, but some of them, have aided and abetted in pushing these lies. Lies told to you by people that I think are un-American. People that have walked on the border of sedition and treason. Like former CIA director John Brennan. Like James Clapper. Like James Comey. Like Peter Strzok at the FBI. Like Andrew McCabe. All of these people were liars. They obstructed justice. They did whatever they wanted. And guess where they ended up? They're writing books and making money on cable news outlets. How disgusting is that? How disgusting is that? They didn't even have one iota of evidence against this president. And it's not just about President Trump. I was in Pittsburgh on Saturday. I was with the people in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Remember, the biggest swing state. It's a swing state again. Farmers, regular folks, right? Folks like you and me who know how much a gallon of milk costs. Folks like you and me who go to the grocery store, you know, and shop for ourselves. We go with our masks. Some of us don't go to the grocery store. Some of us go and get Omaha Steaks online. I'll talk about that later. But guess what? Guess what? We know what's going on in our country. We are the American people. We know how to handle things. We don't need John Brennan, James Clapper, Andrew McCabe, the left, Biden, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Nancy Pelosi telling us how to live our lives. That's why we live in America. That's why we're free. That's why I don't want to lose that freedom. Freedom is actually really cool. It's like the one thing worth dying for. Ask anyone. Ask anyone in the world, in the history of the world, read a history book. What is the one thing worth dying for? Freedom. What's the one thing worth dying? Your family? Freedom? Who the heck wants to die for a state that controls you? Well, oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to be like the Soviet Union. I can't wait to stand in a bread line, Bernie Sanders. I can't wait till I'm in that bread line waiting for my one slice of bread and a little bit of pasta so I can mix it up in a... Oh, wait, there was no butter in the Soviet Union. What would I mix my pasta up in? Oh, I don't know, a little vodka? Really nice, really great. Really great. I'm really looking forward to that. Thank you, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We really need babysitters. Not. We don't need you to babysit us. We pay you. That's why we have this system of justice. That's why we have this system, this republic. That's why we are Americans. That is why people from all over the world, including Ilhan Omar and her family, came here. If it was so great in Somalia, why didn't they stay there? They didn't, because it's not great. Trust me, it sucks. It's a horrible thing when you live in a nation that's so divided, that's ripped apart. It's a horrible thing when you go to Afghanistan and you see young women who, by the way, can't at the age of 12 and 13, whose parents set them up with a 65-year-old man to marry. It's a horrible thing when you have no choices, when you have no freedom. It's a horrible thing. You tell me if Joe Biden, his plan, Kamala Harris's plan with her bailout money for all of these criminals, you tell me if Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal, whatever nonsense, and her plans are going to make any difference in our world, for our country. If it's going to change all that, it's going to change all that? Tell me if it's going to make a difference in our urban communities where small businesses are now burned to the ground. I grew up in one of those communities. My mother was an immigrant. I lived in an immigrant community. You know what people in immigrant communities want? You know what they need? They need jobs. They need people to believe in them because they believe in this country. They need people to give them the tools so that they can make something out of their own life. Nobody wants a free check. Nobody wants a handout. That doesn't make anybody feel good. That just makes you feel like a loser. People want tools so that they can build something out of their lives. It's frustrating. I know, but I'm going to jump really quickly before we get to Congressman Greg Stubbe. I've got something to talk to you about, and it's Arm & Hammer. And it's Arm & Hammer kitty litter. It's for your cats. And guys, wet stuff stinks. I know, I've got two cats. If you have cats out there, I know you're going to want to use Arm & Hammer. Why? Because if you're cleaning up after your dog or your cat, You don't want that smell. You know nothing is worse than a wet litter box. Luckily, Arm & Hammer has a solution. Now it's called Absorb X, and believe me, Stitch and Cinnamon, they love this stuff. They use it, and I don't even know. I can't even smell it. I have to like, what's going on? How come it smells so good in here? And it's because of Arm & Hammer. And I'm not lying to you. I'm not making this stuff up. Arm & Hammer is the only thing that works, and it's Absorb X. And it's desert dry minerals is what makes it work. It absorbs wetness in seconds, taking that wet odor out of the litter box. Go to armandhammer.com/bounty and get $4 off your box of quick absorbing Absorb X and have a nice dry day. New Absorb X from Arm & Hammer. More power to you. Okay, it's not easy to come back and talk about Antifa right after talking about Arm & Hammer kitty litter, which, by the way, is fantastic. But I guess maybe in some ways, they kind of equal themselves out. And that's because we are seeing a rise in violence in our country that we probably never expected. And particularly after dealing with COVID. We saw what happened after the tragic death of George Floyd in Minneapolis by a Minneapolis police officer. It's kind of hard for us to imagine that that happened so long ago, it seems. And then after that, we saw how the Democrats utilized that for their benefit. And I'm not just saying this. I believe that what happened to George Floyd was a horrific thing and that we should all be against any type of excessive force. But we have seen the left take these situations and exacerbate them and utilize them for political reasons. And now we're seeing young people out in the street. And remember, these are Americans. This isn't like some kind of invasion from another country. What we're seeing happen in Portland, in Seattle, in Chicago, these are young American people. These are people out there that have been bamboozled and lied to by their professors, by their teachers. They've been told that this country is no good. They have been told lies. They have been hammered with these lies over and over and over again and manipulated into believing these things. This is not our nation. We need to be above the fray. We need to be above that. We are not going to play that game, but we, I believe, also cannot give up. We have to be right in there. We have to be willing to stand up. We have to be willing to fight for what's right. We have to be willing to tell the truth, and we cannot remain silent. That is the most important thing that I've learned, is that we cannot remain silent in the face of what is happening to our country. And if we do, folks, we only have ourselves to blame. This is why I have Congressman Stube on the show today, because there are few congressmen, there are people up on Capitol Hill that aren't even worth our time, but there are some that do the right thing. They're working for their constituents. They believe in this country. They're willing to fight for this nation, just like he did when he served his country. And he did that in the military. Congressman Stube cares about the people of Florida. He comes from a family of law enforcement officers. And without any hesitation, I want to bring him in because I think he is the right man to talk to about the rise in violence in our country and about what the president and Senate leader Mitch McConnell should do next about appointing a new Supreme Court justice. Congressman Stube, thank you so much for coming back on the Sarah Carter Show. It's great to have a veteran back on this show. It's important for me and important for our nation that we are represented by veterans that have been out there. So thank you so much for your service. Thank you so much for what you do. And I just want to jump right into this. What is happening in Washington, D.C.? I feel like, and in our nation, I feel like everything's been turned upside down with the death of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg on Friday. We see an escalation in violence, threats of violence from the left. What is your estimation? What are you hearing right now on Capitol Hill?
Yeah, I mean, the Democrats and the far left fringe of the Democrats have amped up their calls for anarchy and for violence and for, quote, burning down Congress if the president and the Senate move forward with a confirmation of a new justice, which is, in my opinion, required under the Constitution and also an obligation to the voters that elected Trump, an obligation to the voters that elected the Senate, and the Republicans have a majority. It's not the same as the last scenario where you had a Republican Senate and a Democratic president. You have a president who was chosen. I think it's interesting that Biden says we need to wait until the people pick a president. Well, the people have picked a president, and we have a justice that has passed away, and he has an obligation to move forward with that. And how unhinged that has now made the Democratic left and the liberals and the rioters amp up their calls for violence, for burning Congress down. Just today, you've seen protesters showing up at the home of Lindsey Graham, protesters showing up at the home of Mitch McConnell. A month or so ago, when all this was at its apex, and I can send you a little link that shows you there were people in this area that were calling for people to show up at my house and protest my house. Luckily, I live in a private community, and they would be asked to leave if they showed up here. But that's the level of violence and threats against the institution and against those that stand up for Republicans and for conservatism that we're seeing from the left today.
You know, Congressman, absolutely. I mean, this escalation in violence is actually something I'm taking very seriously. I was looking at Twitter, going through Instagram, and seeing the enormous amount of threats being waged at Senate Leader Mitch McConnell, at the President of the United States, at other congressional members, at anyone who is attempting to stand up to this radical leftist ideology. It's kind of like, we are going to seize the moment and do whatever we can and whatever we want, despite the Constitution, despite law and order, despite what we have seen in the past. We are seeing a different America right now, something that I don't even think we saw in the 1960s. And I want to get your take on this, because the American people that I spoke to, and I talked about this at the opening of the show, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, they're worried. They're concerned. They're worried about their communities. They're worried about their future. What do you think is going on here? And do you think the left, and this is to me the most important part of this question, do you think the left, and I'm talking about Nancy Pelosi, I'm talking about the Democrats that have basically fed this beast, this radical beast, do you think they'll be able to put it back in the cage, or have they opened Pandora's box?
Well, I think they think that that's the case. And I think that they think that by encouraging violence and encouraging these protests and encouraging these people to the point where you have the vice president candidate for the Democrats raising money to bail these people out of jail after they're arrested for rioting, I think they think that it'll all settle down after Biden, if Biden were to win, that it would all settle down after the election. But I tell you, words matter. Words are very important, especially from leaders of our country. And when you have the leader of the House declaring that Republicans are enemies of the state, you've taken things to a whole different level. And there are people that listen to that, that are going to react and act on that, because the leader of their party, the highest Democrat in the country, is saying things like that. And it's dangerous. And we're seeing it all across the country. We're seeing it in these cities all across the country. And I tell you, it's not what I view America as being. And I applaud the president for taking steps in these cities that are unwilling to quell the violence and to quell this rioting, to take their federal funding away. What better way to say, okay, well, you can do whatever you want, Portland. You can do whatever you want, New York City. But we're going to take away your federal funding if you're going to partake in allowing anarchy and rioting on the streets.
Well, I absolutely agree with you. And I would even take it one step further. You know, Nancy Pelosi, when you have the House Speaker basically calling federal law enforcement stormtroopers in a situation that's already so incendiary, I mean, she's an accessory to what happens to these police officers, in my opinion. This is uncalled for, unconscionable. I mean, we saw what happened in Compton, California, with the two officers being shot in the face. And just like you said, when you play these games, when you utilize these words, these aren't just words. These are calls to action to some people. And we know there are people out there in this world. It's like I used to say all the time, John Brennan or James Clapper or any one of them would try to call the president a treasonous president, that he should be removed, that he's a direct threat to our nation. I would say these words are dangerous. They're dangerous to our national security. They're dangerous to our stability as a nation. It's not constructive criticism. It's an outright call to remove someone from office. And what I heard Nancy Pelosi say, what Kamala Harris has done, what others have done, and what they've said publicly, really targets our law enforcement officials and makes things very dangerous for the communities that these law enforcement officials are supposed to be protecting.
Just in New York City, that defunded the police by $1 billion, shootings have been up 166% just this year so far, and the year's not over. 166% in these communities where they are defunding the police, and they keep, like you said, they're taking it further and farther. Just yesterday, AOC asked and tweeted or posted that Democrats should radicalize. These are calls by their leaders to go out and cause chaos and be part of these riots and do violence to not just our law enforcement officers, but to property and to federal property and to all of these things that are going on in our country. And they want that to occur because President Trump is in the White House, and they think or believe that this just makes it look like the president, all of these people all across the country don't support the president. It's quite the opposite. Just like you said, you've talked to people that are afraid and concerned about the direction of their country. Here in my district, in the 17th district of Florida, I tell you, people don't support all of these things that are going on, these riots, this violence. And I believe that the mass majority of people do not. And I think you're going to see a whole bunch of people who have never voted before get out and vote because they are seeing things happen in the country that they've never seen before. Recently, we had a woman call the office, and she said her 73-year-old boyfriend, who's never voted before in his entire life, is registering to vote to vote for the president. And that's not because suddenly he has an interest in politics. It's suddenly because he's seeing the destruction going on in our country, and that this isn't the America that we should have, and supporting those policies that the president's supporting.
Absolutely. And when you think about New York City, just as an example, you know, $1 billion, right, defunded from the police, who's going to pay the price? It's going to be the people in the city. It's going to be the poor people in the urban communities that really need their police officers there, that need that law and order, that need someone to help them. And when they call, there's going to be nobody there to help them. And the reason is so many officers are also leaving the force. They're leaving the force in Portland. They're leaving the force in Chicago. They're leaving the force in New York City. And that's been happening for quite a while under Mayor Bill de Blasio. And now we're seeing it spread across the country like wildfire. And for me personally, as a mother with a child, I know that this is a huge concern. It's got to be a concern among your constituents. We have children. We want to keep them protected. We want them safe. We want to be able to reach our first responders. And what if we can't? This would be our country under Joe Biden.
I can't for the life of me think that moderate women and independent women across this country who have children think this is the direction that we should be going. And I think that this is awakening those individuals who may have not voted or voted against the Republican nominee in 18 in the midterm elections. But I tell you, they don't want their kids going and growing up in a community or going to college in a community that's not safe. And there's all of these type of things that are happening. And then the people that are committing these crimes are just being released. That's not the type of law and order we need in our country. And my brother's a deputy. My father served as a sheriff mm-hmm. in Manatee County, Florida, which is just north of my district. And talking to deputies on a regular basis, this is not something that you have people in today's world lining up to become a law enforcement officer. I think we're going to have a real challenge in the next year or so recruiting young men and women to join our force, because quite frankly, they're not going to want to put their families in a circumstance where they go out one day and they're targeted, like those individuals, those officers who bravely serve their community in LAPD, who were just sitting in their car and some person ran up and shot them.
Well,
and unfortunately, this is happening all across the country.
Right. And that's not the only time that we've seen this targeting of police officers. We're seeing it over and over again. We see the situation growing, the escalation of violence in our city streets. I want to ask you this. Do you think Senator Mitch McConnell, I know you have your ear to the grindstone, you're hearing what's going on Capitol Hill. Do you think he's going to move forward? I know President Trump says he's going to make his announcement Friday or Saturday of who will fill the vacancy of Ruth for Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. But do you think Mitch McConnell has it in him to push this forward as many of us believe he needs to?
Well, he issued a press release commending, obviously, the life and service of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg on Saturday. And at the end, it said that there will be a vote on the president's nominee. Now, I hope with the outlash and the backlash and the calls for violence that you've seen will not prevent him from moving forward on that. This is so important to the future of our country. There are people that voted for President Trump simply because they knew he may have the opportunity to appoint people to the U.S. Supreme Court. This is more important than my political career, the president's political career, Mitch McConnell's political career, because whoever is placed is a conservative replacing a liberal justice on the U.S. Supreme Court who could be there for 20 or 30 years. So if, God forbid, Biden does get elected, that court and that justice can be a backstop on all the horrible policy that they're going to try to implement. The Green New Deal, all the different things that they want to do can be a backstop. That court can be a backstop for those type of policies. So to me, this is bigger than Mitch McConnell. This is bigger than the other people in the Senate. And I think it's bigger than the presidential election, because this individual will be on the court for 20 or 30 years. And all these Republicans and conservatives who voted Trump into office, I think would be very, very upset if he didn't use this opportunity with 4.5 months left in his term to appoint a justice to the Supreme Court, because the Constitution requires him to do that.
100%. I absolutely agree with you. I want you to hold on really quick. Can you do that? And I'll come back to you right after this segment, because I have something to share with all of our listeners out there. The last thing anyone wants to do right now is go to the grocery store. I know it's horrible. You got to go to the grocery store. Remember your mask. Keep your distance, 6 feet away from everybody else. It's crowded, and the selection isn't always great. Instead, just stay at home, kick up your feet, and let Omaha Steaks ship delicious food directly to your door. Right now, you can get a gourmet grill out package exclusively for my listeners. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code Carter, that's C-A-R-T-E-R, into the search bar. Remember that. You need to enter Carter into the search bar. And for a limited time, Omaha Steaks will add 2 pounds of extra burgers and gourmet jumbo franks. You won't need to go to the store for anything. Free with your order. The Grill Out Favorites package just lets you stay at home and eat like you're at the best steakhouse in town. This incredible package includes bacon-wrapped filet mignon, top sirloin, boneless chicken breast, pork chops, burgers and jumbo franks, side dishes, and the world-renowned ultra-delicious caramel apple tartlets and more. Omaha Steaks delivers guaranteed quality. Every order is flash frozen, vacuum sealed, and safely delivered in a cooler with dry ice. Order the Grill Out Favorites package today, and don't forget about the 4 free Omaha Steak Burgers and 4 free Gourmet Jumbo Franks. Visit omahasteaks.com and remember to type the code Carter, C-A-R-T-E-R, in the search bar, omahasteaks.com. Thank you, Congressman, for holding on. I want to jump right to what you've been doing, and it's been so incredible. You know, really focused on Antifa and the growing violence of this group. And part of the issue, I believe, too, is we've seen so many young people being wrapped into these groups in the universities and college campuses. A lot of this is perpetuated by professors that are in these campuses, also in our high school campuses. We've been seeing that this move towards a radical left, a Marxist leftist movement. Is that your impression of this? And how do we get this back under control?
Yeah, it's 100% my impression. And this just didn't happen overnight. This has been years of these type of socialized social welfare, socialist programs being taught in our universities and education systems. And this Marxist theory, and that we, you know, the rich should pay for the poor, and everybody should be provided everything by the government, and the government should be in charge of everything. So you have a whole generation of young people who have a very different opinion of our country. They're not taught history. They're not taught the things that make America great, and that capitalism is a positive thing for our country and the growth economically that we've been able to get to where we are as a country. So it's very troubling. In Florida, when I was in the state legislature, we passed legislation to require history and civics in our education system. And even in college, I just this morning talked to a class in the State College of Florida about government and civics and campaigns and how government works, because that's one of their requirements to satisfy that we implemented by the states. But Democratic states and liberal states aren't doing those type of policies. They could care less about teaching our children those type of things, because they want to encourage this type of behavior and completely change, in AOC's terminology and the leftist Democrats' terminology, completely transform what is America today.
Oh, absolutely. And I want to play a clip here. This is of AOC, and I want to get your take. This is, I mean, I don't understand what she's trying to get at here. And it almost sounds like she's angry at the middle class of America. And I want to get your response to this.
voting for Joe Biden is not about whether you agree with him. It's a vote to let our democracy live another day. That's what this is about. We need to act in solidarity and protection for the most vulnerable people in our society who have already experienced the violent repercussions of this administration. And the reason we need to do that is because, yes, the political middle is willing to sacrifice immigrants. The political middle too often is willing to play both sides when someone dies to police violence. Absolutely. That's why we need to show up.
The political middle. I'm not even sure what she's talking about there, but when I think about this congressman, the only people that have been causing violence, I have not seen Trump supporters running through the streets, burning down buildings, burning down businesses, threatening police officers, threatening the White House. I have seen the radical left doing that.
And you won't see Republicans doing that because for the most part, they are law-abiding citizens and believe in law and order. And if they have a problem with either the political spectrum, then they do it in a peaceful manner. If they have a problem with the justice system, instead of taking justice in their own hands and running out and shooting police officers, they fight that justice in the courts. And it's just a crazy place that we're in right now. And to show you the other side, you know, I'm joining Franklin Graham this week in D.C. for the prayer walk on Saturday, where people are going to pray for this nation. And you have things like that going on, and you have people attending that are afraid for their safety and security just by going and praying in our nation's capital, making sure that there's not protesters attacking them as they're praying in our nation's capital. And it's a sad state of affairs that we've gotten to this point in our country. And it's because of the things that AOC and others are encouraging this type of behavior.
Exactly. I tell you, there isn't anybody that I haven't talked to recently, a congressman, that isn't afraid for their own safety and security. They don't even want to put a Trump sign out in their front yard because some of them say they're afraid that people will attack their house, that they might set their house on fire, that they might be a target in the suburbs. Others are saying like, no, I'm going to stand up and speak. I'm going to take that risk. I'm going to take that chance. And all of this talk and all of the rhetoric coming from the left really is frightening to me. What is the worst case scenario for our nation? I mean, if come election, we know Joe Biden right now has about 600 attorneys on his team. That's what I've been hearing, about 600 attorneys. They are going to fight this election tooth and nail. We got those universal mail ballots. People say that it could be months before we find out if it's close who the president is, and this violence could escalate. But in your estimation, what could be the worst case scenario? And then maybe what's the best case scenario? Because I'm hoping for the best.
Well, and in states like Florida, election results are going to be almost, you know, the next morning. In the 16 election, we had problems with two counties, but those supervisors have been replaced. And we just had a primary here in August and everything went smoothly. You got results sometimes within hours of the different polling locations because Florida is run by Republicans and a Republican leadership. And some of these Democratic states, who knows what's going to happen? But those are also states that the president's likely not going to carry. I know in Nevada, the Trump campaign filed a lawsuit against the universal mail-in balloting. And just think about how crazy this is if the Democrats were to take the House, the Senate, and the White House. They would make universal mail-in ballots universal throughout the country and send ballots to every person, any person that's not registered, illegal immigrants, all across this country. And that would be disastrous for our country. So I think the president needs to keep doing what he's doing and ensure that law and order is going to be across this in these cities. And if these cities aren't willing to allow the feds to come in to disquell unpeaceful protesting, then take their funding away. You'll see very quickly that New York will change their behavior because suddenly billions and billions of dollars of federal dollars are going to go the opposite direction. So I think the president needs to keep doing what he's doing. And in these areas that he can go in, like Wisconsin, you don't hear about Kenosha anymore because finally the Democratic governor allowed the president to send people in. And then a day later, everything was taken care of. It's amazing when you have law enforcement taking the steps to protect the people in their communities, the effect that that has overall in crime and crime going down. And then you see the opposite of that. Like I said, 166% increase in crime in New York City. In Chicago, just this past weekend, there were 39 people shot just this past weekend and 6 people killed in Chicago. These are cities that are completely run by Democrats. And what a contrast between democratically run cities and Republican run states in this country.
Oh, I think that's a good way of looking at it. When you think about the Republicans and you think about the Democrats, you think about the Trump administration in general. We saw an increase in for Black Americans, for Hispanic Americans, the lowest unemployment rate we've seen ever. And we've seen a dedication to reaching out to the urban communities and saying, look, we're here for you. We're going to help lift you up. We're going to give you the tools you need to make your community stronger, both with financially through businesses, small business, education, and everything else. And from the Democrats, what you see is a play into victimization, where people are really held down, where they're not able to speak up for themselves. And by the way, with Democrats, what we see is Democratic leadership defining the way people should think. And I think that's the difference between the Trump administration and what we've seen in the past. And, you know, people talk about this new Trump doctrine. I think what it's given is people the ability to be free to express themselves. But I think the Democrats are fighting back tooth and nail. And now they've basically enlisted the radical left in their war against America. And I'm going to give you the final word here, Congressman, because I feel that this is a battle. This is America versus socialism, you know, and I it really is. This election is probably the most important election in modern political history. What do the people, I mean, what would you tell independents that are still sitting on the fence? What would you tell them to get them over to Trump's side?
Well, I think you said it. This is probably, it is the most important election in the history of our country, at least in recent times, because of the vast differences in policies of the Trump administration. And you said it, unemployment at record lows, economy all-time highs before COVID, all of these different unemployments for Blacks, African Americans, minorities at all-time records. That prosperity will be completely turned around to where we're going to have a 70% tax base. We're going to tax people into the ground. We're going to put all of these horrible policies in place, like the Green New Deal, spend trillions and trillions of dollars and not really affect the policies that they want to have effect. And the type of change and differences between Biden and Trump, all you got to do is look at that. I'm very much looking forward to the debates here at the end of this month. And I think that will highlight for the American people the differences between Joe Biden and President Trump and the directions that we'll face in the future of this country.
I'm also looking forward to those debates. And thank you so much, Congressman Stubbe, for being on the show today, for being on the Sarah Carter Show. I invite you back anytime. I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to be happening in Florida. Thank you for running such a phenomenal state, for being a part of such a great state. My husband and I vacation there often. And we look forward to getting back there after COVID subsides. Yeah. So thank you again for being on the show.
Yep, anytime. Love being on.
We have 40-something days. Each one of us, every one of you out there that's like me, sitting at home wondering what the future of our nation is going to be like. Will President Trump win the re-election or will it be Joe Biden? Right now, we have some choices to make. We can sit back, we can do nothing, we can keep our mouths closed, we can be the whatever people want to call the silent majority, and I'm actually, frankly, quite sick of that, and I've been quite sick of it for some time. I understand it's tough. People don't want to stand up and, you know, always say what's on their mind, but think about the consequences of not standing up and speaking out. Think about what's happened to our country. Think about what's happening around the world right now, from the outbreak of COVID, which I know, and for some of you out there that have suffered with this, or some of you who have lost loved ones, I am so sorry. But even the extraordinary measures that have been taken on our societies, the extraordinary toll on our school systems and on our jobs and on our small businesses. And then think about what's happened with the radical left and how groups like Antifa, and I'm talking about the organization Black Lives Matter, because all lives matter and Black lives absolutely do matter. Everybody matters. But think about the organization and think about those riots in the streets and think about who's feeding that beast. Like I talked about with the congressman, like I talked about at the top of the show, And when you think about that, and you think about how loud those voices are, and you think about how quiet so many of our voices have been, because I get it. We have to work every single day. I know what it's like. I'm not over-exaggerating either. When I first started as a journalist, when they told me I was making $14 an hour at the Daily Bulletin, I thought I had hit Eureka. Because guess what? I was working for $8 an hour before that. With kids, $8 an hour. Southwest Airlines. I loved it. It was a long time ago. I'm sure they're paying more money now. But I worked for $8 an hour, and I was just happy to have medical benefits. Be able to get my kids to a doctor. I know what it feels like. I'm not rich. I go to the grocery store. I see people all the time at Safeway. I'm like, hey, hi. Hey, Sarah, how's it going? Some people don't even know me. Some people don't even like me. Some people know me. Some people don't. Doesn't matter. But I know what it's like. And I'm telling you, we can't remain quiet. We have had too many people like my husband, people like his friends, men and women who have fought for this nation, that have sacrificed everything, their life, to ensure that our way of life continues, to ensure that this nation survives. And this nation will not survive if we hand it over to the Marxists. And if we do, when my mother came from Cuba, and she came in the 1960s, and she became an American citizen, I always said to her, Mom, do you ever want to go back to Cuba? She said, we gave up Cuba. Cuba was given to the Marxists. That's no longer my nation. Nobody was willing to fight for it. Think about that. Even when they tried to fight, the few people that stood up and tried to fight, it just wasn't enough. It just wasn't enough to stop the rise of Fidel Castro. And if you think I'm over-exaggerating, and if you don't think it can happen in this country, then you need to read history. Because we are a very young nation. We are extremely fragile. And our republic is relying on you. It's relying on every single one of us. Not to fight back with arms, but to fight back with our Constitution, with the foundation of what this nation was built on, what our forefathers gave us, to stand up and say no more. We're not going to let you do this to us. And I can put any damn sign in the front of my house, whatever I want. If you can put a Biden sign, I can put a Trump sign. And you're not going to touch my home. And you're not going to touch my police officers and my law enforcement community. And people will be held accountable. And there won't be a two-tier justice system. And if somebody erases their phone like they did in Robert Mueller's team, and 27 phones erased, deleted, mashed up, whatever, fake passwords, full excuses, BS excuses from the Mueller team, that they should be held accountable the way we would be held accountable. America, do not give up on America. Do not give up on this great nation. I'm not giving up on it. You should not be giving up on it. We have 40 days until the election. You and I together are going to make this happen. Thank you so much for being a part of the Sarah Carter Show. Please follow me on Twitter at Sarah Carter DC. And please subscribe to me at the Sarah Carter Show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're enjoying this show, we would love to get your review. And please give us a 5-star rating. And remember, you can always read all of our breaking stories at sarahacarter.com. That's sarahacarter.com without an H. Here at the Sarah Carter Show, we are taking the story back. Thank you, and God bless.